نفس القصة وبعرف
Ma Bansak. My name is Leslie. This is Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. Before our music break, I threw my hat into the ring in the media discussion around self-immolation as a possible form of extreme mental health, with particular regard to Aaron Bushnell's act of self-immolation on February 25th in protest to the genocide in Gaza. I'm going to make the bold statement of saying that we actually cannot know whether or not Aaron Bushnell was mentally well or not. Because I think that when we witness genocide happening every day, there's a very strong chance that we are not able to live in a healthy state of mind. It might disturb our sleep. It might stoke a lot of anxiety and depression and grief. It might make us question our worldview. It might make us really, really, really angry. Perhaps this is the cold that the so-called mental health advocates are citing when they say mental health is like catching a cold. But whether or not Erin Bushnell was mentally ill, that doesn't take away what he did, which was an act of protest. It was not him seeking a way to end his life, but rather a way for him to show his resistance against US empire and genocide. I will no longer be complicit in genocide. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people are experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. This is what our ruling class has decided will be normal. Free Palestine. This is what he said in his live stream before he self-immolated. I'm about to engage in an extreme act of protest, but compared to what people are experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it's not extreme at all. Like many people, I've been thinking a lot about death, and I want to cite a really important academic work that I've had the privilege of engaging with called Necropolitics by Achille Mbembe. Mbembe is a Cameroonian scholar, and in Necropolitics he raises this idea of necropower and necropolitics and how states kind of govern their people, particularly their colonized people. And he says that necropower is this power to render lives essentially completely unlivable, as though those who are colonized are not only people, but they're literally the living dead. He talks a lot about sovereignty, and he writes, "Sovereignty means the capacity to define who matters and who does not, who is disposable and who is not." And on page 27 of the Public Culture publication of Necropolitics, he writes, quote, "The most accomplished form of necropower is in the contemporary colonial occupation of Palestine. To make life so precarious that to live feels like you're dying. And this is what Erin Bushnell is talking about when he says that compared to what people are experiencing in Palestine at the hands of their colonizers, it is not extreme at all. It is not just about what is happening in Gaza, though that makes a big part of it. It is the occupation. A huge part of all this is the occupation. On page 39, Mbembe writes, "To live under late modern occupation is to experience a permanent condition of being in pain. Fortified structures, military posts, and roadblocks everywhere, buildings that bring back painful memories of humiliation, interrogations, and beatings, curfews that imprison hundreds of thousands in their cramped homes every night from dusk to daybreak, soldiers patrolling the unlit streets, frightened by their own shadows. Children blinded by rubber bullets, parents shamed and beaten in front of their families, soldiers urinating on fences, shooting at the rooftop water tanks just for fun, chanting loud offensive slogans, pounding on fragile tin doors to frighten the children, confiscating papers, or dumping garbage in the middle of residential neighborhoods. border guards kicking over a vegetable stand or closing borders at whim, bones broken, shootings and fatalities. A certain kind of madness. How can we be well? Knowing that there are people who are living in these conditions every day, that this is not just some thing that happened and was condemned, but rather even the most powerful countries in the world do not outright condone it, but are complicit in it. And know that this is happening. And yet condemn every single instance of resistance, no matter how peaceful it is. From peaceful roadside protests to literally just boycotting. How can we not... A certain kind of madness, well, let's take the word madness and run with that. How can we not be upset as in mad, but how can we act as though this is sane? It is exactly what Bushnell was saying in some of his last words. Our ruling class has decided to normalize this. It is what Bissan has been saying. We shouldn't be letting this be normalized. There is nothing normal about genocide. And yet, we are expected to think of resistance towards this as being unnatural, unnormal, insane, mad. It could be in the extreme act of protest that Bushnell partook in, and it could also be something, unfortunately, as small as grieving publicly. Continuing conversations about all this boycotting, showing up to vigils, why is it that the grief that Aaron Bushnell felt, the grief that many of us feel, about those who have been killed because of genocide, why is it that in our acts of grief, no matter how big or small, these things have been considered abnormal? I don't know. Big thoughts for somebody with such a small brain, aka me. A little bit of levity for you there, haha. We're gonna listen to a little bit more music before we wrap up this hour. Here is a new tune from Tutard, Look Me in the Eyes.
The voice that's in the silent night. Confused about the news. feel me? Can you feel the beat of my heart?
We love an anti-war disco banger. Again, that was Tutard with Look Me in the Eyes here on Typically Tuesdays on CJSF 90.1 FM. I'm Leslie. This episode has been a difficult one and a really heavy one, and I'm tired. Are you tired? I'm tired. I want to end off the show with thoughts from two people who are not me and who are more articulate than I am. The first one is from an activist named Raphael Shumanov, who wrote about Aaron Bushnell. "I wish he hadn't done it because we need him. But burning yourself alive to stop a genocide is more rational, human, and understandable than the world carrying on during genocides like everything is normal. We need incredible and brave empathetic people like him to be a voice, to be there for his loved ones, to have joy and meaning in his life, and to be rewarded for his labor, love, and sacrifice, and inspire more. May his name be a blessing." Many of the people who were interviewed about Aaron Bushnell's self-immolation, his close friends, they all said that they didn't suspect him to be mentally ill, that his act of self-immolation was really just political. He was a staunch anti-imperialist, and he was rightfully upset. May his name be a blessing. And as we've been talking about whether or not Aaron Bushnell is mentally ill or whatever during a genocide, Steph Kaufman Mtimkulu, who is an anti-carceral care strategist and the director of Project Let's, has some words. And they write, "People are searching for medical terminology to try to make sense of the depth of non-humanity we are witnessing from the Israeli occupation. Clinical medicine doesn't hold the answers for this level of dehumanization, but indigenous knowledge does. The phenomenon we are witnessing is called soul loss. Colonialism and white supremacy require self-dehumanization and separation, slash loss of soul, in order to create human beings capable of such horrific violence. Soul loss has shown up all over the world as a mechanism for understanding the impact of intergenerational colonial violence, sick illness, spiritual sickness, and more in both colonizers and colonized peoples. There is no pill that will undo the ideology of Eurocolonial dominance built on superiority and violence. The medicine of the ideology is decolonization and liberation. If soul is lost, it must be retrieved. Hold on to your humanity with everything you have." Unquote. I think at a time when we are moving through this big collective grief, the fact that we grieve is a little sign of hope that we have held on to humanity, to our own sense of humanity, to our own souls. Let us be grateful for that, because without it, we can't resist. Without this soul, I guess, we can't continue to organize and to fight for a free and just world. That's a little bit of a sliver of hope, I think. Thanks for grieving with me. Thanks for letting me grieve with you. You can make demands to your government officials, the Prime Minister, the Minister of Foreign Affairs, etc., to demand for Canada to reinstate funding to UNRWA and for Canada to place an arms embargo and sanctions on Israel. These are just some of the ways in which Canada can actually show up and prove that they give a single crap about Palestinians. Otherwise, you know, the call for a ceasefire is simply performative. So, Canada, it's your move. It's the ball is still in your court, my guy. You've just been like spinning it on your finger or whatever. You gotta do the dunk. You gotta do it. You gotta put the arms embargo into action. You gotta put the sanctions into action. You gotta put the funding into UNRWA into action. Let your MP and the other people know. Make those calls, write those emails, and write those letters. That is my ask of you for today. And tune into more great CJSF programming by checking out Open Mic with Sasha every Thursday at 1 o'clock. Sasha has very good taste in music. If you're into like punk music, you're going to hear a good amount of that on her program. Go check it out for your weekly cool music fix, other than typically Tuesdays, I guess. And for your news fix, let me continue to push for you to check out Democracy Now! Every weekday from 11 to 12. And stay engaged with what is happening around the world. It is important as a citizen of the world, so do it. Thank you again for sitting with me this hour, for letting me grieve and for grieving with me, and letting me grieve with you. I am going to play one last song today. This is the newest from Saint Levant and MC Abdul. And it's very beautiful. I hope you enjoy it. Get into it. This is Data. Enjoy. And I'll talk to you very soon.
بين النهر والجبال بلاقي انتمائي بين الشط والرمال بداية حياتي أحلق يا وطن فرحة ومآسي أحلق وطن الغالي فلسطين حبيبتنا
nights praying in my family could stay alive imagine trying to fly with no wings but I promise you the caged birds sing in the winter time heavy nights big dreams praying that we make it to 16 and even though I travel the world we should let his aid full of steam
حسني ما ناسي هذه عوام الخطر مجروح